Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Hello, everybody. Tuesday time for the pre-finals edition of Duff and Quarters, the podcast that pits a superstar that never was because he had very small hands and the son of a darkened shearer in the same studio at the same time with a very lanky bloke who does the mail for us, Josh Gallup. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian, Glenn Quartermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times and gun feature writer for the West and the Sunday Times is with me in the studio. Quarters.
Duff, how are you?
Harley Bennell, the gift that keeps giving.
It does. Well, not a gift in this case. We certainly wish Harley all the best. He's been taken to hospital, we believe. It's a serious situation. So let's hope he does recover from this. But I think Harley was there was a huge chance to be re-signed for next year. But, of course, as soon as he had that COVID breach, that was the end of it. It's led to a situation on the Gold Coast where teammates, club officials, everyone, friends, everyone was concerned for his welfare. And now he's been taken off to hospital. So it's a serious situation and we wish him all the best. But I don't think there was any doubt it was going to be career over. You know, Harley, the first few years, Duff, we were just going through the stats before. Amazing, amazing first few years of football. Promised. We thought we were going to see one of the absolute stars of the competition over a long period of time. It didn't eventuate. He struggled through off-field misdemeanours and he also struggled with injury. The two were possibly linked because you don't look after your body. That's what happens. But had those awful calf issues. Fremantle did absolutely everything they could to get him right. Even shipped him off to Germany at some stage.
Healing hands.
And look, it was just it's a sad story on two fronts. Firstly, obviously the personal side of it, and we hope he gets himself right. But the second side of it, I think, as a football fan, I'm disappointed because I don't know how many times I've said this to you, Duff. I just wanted to see Harley back at his best because the first few years he promised so much, and I was just looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the last few years, in fairness to Harley, he didn't get much of a run with injury. I wonder whether when he first came to Fremantle and he was clearly not on the straight and narrow off the field and he had the calf injury as well, I wonder how much damage he did by not ticking every box that you needed to tick in terms of the recovery from that calf. And by the time and I think Fremantle will say, and I'll tell you, that in the last couple of years he was there, they didn't have too many problems with him off the field. He was doing his rehab with Aaron Sandilands. Aaron Sandilands seemed to be a very good influence on him, but they just couldn't get him out there. And there'd been too many nicks in that calf. And even though he played four or five games for Melbourne this year, you watch him run. He was running flat-footed. Didn't want to tear the Band-Aid off the calf and sort
that's
of
right. I
and
think
see what it had just been done too many times.
The word on Harley was that he was just really fearful of his calf. He knew and is almost, you know, even the slightest soreness there, he would fear that it was major damage when it wasn't, in fact. So I think when you get to that situation, which happens with calf injuries, it tends to be an old man's injury, but in his case, I suppose it was a younger man's injury.
So he's now 27 years old, Quarters. Now, you're, let's say, for argument's sake, hypothetically speaking, you are an advisor and mentor to Harley Bennell and you're plotting his next move. What is your advice to him?
Well, the first thing I would say to Harley is your life is only just beginning. You're a very young man at 26, 27 years of age. I moved to Perth at 26, Duff. So, you know, you're a very young man.
Was that yesterday?
last couple of years ago, Duff. But my advice to him would be, what you are passionate, grab onto what you are passionate about. Now, if that's football and he thinks he can be involved at some level off the field, or at a lower level even, Duff, then I would say grab it with both hands, but he would need to focus on something he's passionate about, because that's the way out.
He has a child. He has a partner. I believe there's another child on the way. So fingers crossed for Harley that he can get past this massive disappointment of what's happened here, and fingers crossed he can keep his life together. And hopefully, you know, who knows, you know, come home, get yourself right, play a season in the Waffle, who knows. And because you prepare differently when you play in the Waffle and you can kind of run your own preparation, maybe Harley can cobble together a preparation that works better for him than the sports science people could. So, well,
but without the distraction of the elite hanging over him, that this is what you have to get back for. Playing at a lower level will just lift all that pressure off him. And you know, he's much loved, Duff. I mean, you look at the impact he made on quite a few of his Melbourne teammates in a short period of time. So there are people who can wrap their arms around him and help him through this.
Yeah, he was popular in most of the places he went, but towards the end of those places, people tended to steer clear of him because of his ability to find mischief off the field. So they weren't staying away from him because they didn't like him. They were staying away from him for the sake of their own, for the sake of their own careers. So fingers crossed for him. Hopefully he does okay. That season you talked about as a 19-year-old, rounds 4, 5, and 6 of 2012, 3 games, 9 goals in 3 games as a 19-year-old, playing as a midfielder.
Wow.
Now we look at, you know, Caleb Sarong, we look at Matthew Rowell, we look at those type of players, and people talked about Matthew Rowell's form as unprecedented. Probably not unprecedented when you line it up against Harley Bunnell's form.
And you mentioned earlier, you also kicked a bag of 4 that year.
Kicked a bag of 4 with 38 possessions.
3 threes. Who won the Rising Star in 2012?
Well, I think Harley had played 14 games in 2011.
Oh, he couldn't win it.
Yeah. So he was ineligible.
Okay.
And I don't know who won it in 2011. But
just if it wasn't him and he was eligible, that's a good year. of course, everyone remembers his 6, 6, and 27 against Geelong in 2014. I mean, if that stuff earlier didn't put him on the map, and it certainly should have, that did. And that's what we all clung to when he was back at Freo and then when he went on to Melbourne. And that's what I wanted to see more of, because at his best, he was as good as anyone. And he lit up a footy field.
He had a massive tank quarters. He had – so when Fremantle tested him and they were trying to work, and they were trying to get to the bottom of the calf problems, and they found he was the most explosive athlete they had with daylight – second.
Mm.
And the next most explosive was Stephen Hill.
Yeah, who now it would be Stephen Hill. It wouldn't be now.
And who now also has soft tissue issues of his own as well. So not necessarily a great thing to have that sort of explosive power as an AFL athlete.
Well, Stephen might, perhaps it's him, he's probably built up too much.
Harley would look like he was cruising and still putting distance between him and the player chasing him. That's how what a great mover he was. Quarters, are you in favour or against the bye week?
This year I think it was necessary because of the condensed fixturing we had. Team list, there was a lot of teams banged up heading into the finals. I think this year it had to happen. But in normal circumstances, in a normal year, I don't like the pre-finals bye. I would like to see a pre-grand final bye. I'd like to see us get 2 weeks at a grand final with all the hype and speculation that goes with it. Have all your awards in the first week. Have a week of just speculation in the second week. It allows players to get absolutely cherry ripe for the grand final. And, I'm not saying we should follow everything America does, because we shouldn't, but I love their Super Bowl build-up. It's a two-week build-up, and I just think, for the biggest game of the year, can you imagine at times two in terms of the build-up? It would be amazing. So I'm all for the pre-grand final bye, but not the pre-finals bye. But having said that, this year is the exceptional circumstance, so I don't think we could argue against it this year, Duff, really.
I like it most years. The only thing I would say is what you're talking about, I don't mind, philosophically, I don't mind what you're talking about. The concern would be if you're one of those teams that makes the top four – and you get the week off, and then there's another couple of weeks break between the prelim and the granny. Have you missed too much footy? So maybe if you were going to do what you're talking about, maybe you would have to restructure the finals so that there aren't weeks off
earlier for teams. On. Yeah, that's fair.
So play, you know, find a way to play 3 weeks, then, or maybe it just becomes sudden death.
So, yeah, so you don't,
1v8.
Yeah.
2v7.
So you win the first week, you don't have the 2 weeks off, and you go back. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that would be a way of addressing it. But I just think, can you imagine what we could do with 2 weeks in the build-up? By the way, just like the news is being drip-fed to us on Grand Final Entertainment, how's Mike Brady going to feel this year doing up there, Cazale, at the MCG? It's going to be good on him. I think it's great, but it's going to be a bit weird.
Well, you know, you've work to earn a living, but on weekends comes the time. That's, you know, you can do whatever turns you on.
get out and clear your mind.
Get out and clear your mind, yeah.
Well, me, I like football. that'll be weird for Mike Brady.
Yeah, the AFL needs to be careful they don't try too hard.
I think this is a year where anything goes, though, Duff. I just think, you know, it's got to look kind of – the image-wise, it will be some amazing scenes if you have this empty stadium and the lone guitarist in the middle on his little podium. It's going to look kind of strange. But
the beauty of the grand final for me, Quarters, and the beauty of our sport, and maybe I'm not typical, maybe I'm a bit of a football junkie, so – but the game is great and the game is what people go and see. Like, I suspect a lot of people go to see the Super Bowl for the show.
Yeah, they would. A lot of people watch it for the show.
People,
the halftime.
People go to the footy for the game. So,
yeah, but it adds a dimension to it, I think.
Focus on the game.
Yeah, well, I think we do. I mean, I think the pre-match stuff is great. Like when your team's playing, I think all that build-up, well, if your team's playing, I can tell you right now that you feel like, to quote Terry Wallace, spewing up before the game because you're that nervous. And when it gets to that, I love that 10-second countdown clock, the 10 just before the bounce. The hairs stand up in the back of your neck. It's great. So I think all the build-up's fine. But once the ball's bounced, it's all about the game, no question at all.
In your promising but small-handed career, did you used to throw up in the rooms before
never.
You went out?
Nah.
I did.
I'll tell you what, I threw up a few times post-juniors when I was an adult and I'd had a few too many beers on the Friday night.
Yeah, no, that's different.
I had a couple at quarter time, I can tell you.
That's different.
No, I didn't get that. No, I didn't have the nervous. I tell you, I did made the old mistake a few pre-games of the old went to the toilet after just applying the Denko rub. That's what the one when you run out in the ground, you're always first in the sprints. Big mistake, juniors. If you're out there, you want any tips, apply the Denko rub after you go for the pre-match toilet break.
Glenn, that's what the trainers were for. They used to apply the liniment and the Denker rub.
When you're a junior playing for Park Orchards out in the eastern suburbs, mate. The trainers, we didn't have any.
To keep that stuff off your hands. Now, I used to have one dry reach.
Did you?
In the rooms every time, yeah.
So what was your pre-game ritual?
Dry reach.
Oh, right. I used to actually just get up on my toes a bit and just skip around a bit. That's what I used to do.
Oh, no, I used to get around. Like you had the usual, you know, they'd gradually
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
They gradually build you up to supposedly a crescendo where you were ready to run out and go through brick walls. But I always had to have one dry reach.
Actually, took part in a grand final yesterday, Duff, a junior grand final. I was coach of my young bloke and his team. And unfortunately, we were just outplayed by a better side. So I've got the finals buzz about me at the moment. Look, it was great to be a part of a grand final. The kids loved it. Obviously disappointed, but, you know, beaten by a better side. You've got to accept that.
Now, of course, tickets went on sale today to the Collingwood West.
They got snapped up, surely.
Well, I think so. I think they were expecting a frenzy. We haven't heard the official sold out.
So 9 a.m. they went on sale. About 32,000-33,000 will be sold.
Yep.
Counting for 35.5 is the capacity.
Yep.
But of course, that doesn't account for the officials, police, catering, all of the other staff. There'll be a couple of grand there, so it'll be full. There'll be a bit of noise. I heard Will Schofield this morning actually saying, you know, it's finals week when you get a lot of texts from people you've not heard from this year at all asking for grand final tickets. He says, but the number of texts you get tends to be very relevant to the actual size of the crowd and the noise at the ground.
Yep.
So he thinks it's going to be a lot of noise and a really good crowd there. So I think it will be.
Yeah, I think so. And don't forget, Collingwood has a big following everywhere, and there will be Collingwood supporters here that will get along to the game. So there'll be a bit of noise for the Pies as well as the Eagles. And Collingwood has a very good record on the road as well. Not the last time they played West Coast, which was in round eight, when they were a bit undermanned and certainly outplayed. But I expect that to be a pretty
fierce contest. We're going to preview the games on Thursday, but just a little early indication to the four finals this weekend. West Coast, quite a few in stuff. So, Kennedy's not an in. He's just at the moment been given a tick. Still to be ratified, but looks like he'll play.
Yep.
McGovern's an in, Shuey's an in, and Redden's an in.
Jamie Cripps.
And Jamie Cripps as well, after coming home, for his wife gave birth. So that's a big in for him.
The big question here is, now clearly the names say this is a positive, and obviously Josh Kennedy played.
He played
in the last game. McGovern played in, I think it was the one before that against St Kilda, was off halfway through the one before that. Shuey's been gone a little while now. Yep. The names say it's positive, but is it disruptive having that many changes?
Ideally, you don't want this many changes. But I think in this season we've had, and it's not that long since a few of them have played, or Shuey's a little bit different, but I think you've got to play them.
Yeah, I know, you've got to play them.
I think, and I think, well, it has the capacity to, but I think that they've also hub life. I think everything's changed a bit this year, so I don't think it will be as disruptive as it has been in past years. I think you've got to play them this week.
Absolutely.
And I think that they start. I think there is a caveat emptor with the game because Collingwood travels well and they are very much the underdogs here. So beware the ambush. But I'm a bit more confident in West Coast at the moment, particularly at home. Haven't lost at home this year. I think that's my early feel of it. Interesting, a lot of speculation about Collingwood. What do they do with their forward line? I still like Cox in the side, Mason Cox, probably playing a bit higher and DeGoey more front of goal, but I think they should keep Cox in that side.
Their best forward structure quarters is Cox, DeGoey, and Majacek.
Yeah.
With the smaller players like your Hoskin Elliotts and your Stevensons buzzing around them. When they beat West Coast by a point at Optus Stadium last year, Cox kicked three goals, DeGoey played and kicked two, Majacek played and kicked four, and they also got massive games out of their midfield.
Yeah, but
so that's almost, for the Pies, that's almost the template as to how to go about this. And for West Coast, I reckon the interesting thing for me is, do they tag Pendlebury? Because he's the guy that can direct the ball away from the West Coast.
I think
Coast
they
defenders.
Probably do. No side bottom's a massive bonus for West Coast.
Yeah.
Obviously not participating in the final series. But I think if you've got side bottom out, I think you get a bit of a free hit at Pendlebury now. So I'd have a go. He's massive influence and has a big influence on the shape of their field.
Yep.
So I just think you'd have to have a look at that now.
So if you're Simo, do you go back to your tried and trusted tagger, Mark Hutchings? Do you give Jack Redden a job as an accountable midfielder, which he can play, he can do that role? Or do you throw the challenge to young Braden Ainsworth, who's played 11 games and did a great stopping job on Zach Jones a couple of weeks ago?
With all due respect to Zach Jones, this is Scott Pendlebury. I'm saying no. I'm saying I don't mind the Redden challenge, actually. Yep. I think he's been in about the place too. So I think Redden for me would be my go-to. I think Eagles can still win this game if he has a major influence. But I just think now with Sidebottom out, and if, by the way, if Sidebottom was in, I'd be tagging him and not Pendlebury because I think he's easier to get.
Yeah, every day of the week.
Pendlebury is very much harder. He's not an easy player to tag.
No.
Still playing just great football, Pendlebury. So that's what I would do.
Quarters, of course, the postseason football news is going on around in other
The silly season cities. Before the silly season, Duff.
So
how many names are being thrown about?
Well, what about some names that the police are throwing about in Adelaide. Brad Crouch and Tyson Stengel.
Tyson Stengel, who went for DUI earlier in the year and then said, I've learnt my lesson. Really? Okay. This is my fear, though, Duff. Post-season, in this crazy year we've had, I fear there's going to be a lot more of these because you've had young males play in the hub situation for a hell of a long time and suddenly the trigger is released and out they go. And I have great fears about this post-season. And we've already seen a few incidents, and this is a major one. They'll be, obviously, there will be some – no charges laid?
Now they're going to be sent for counselling.
Counselling.
And then the club has to decide – the club is still investigating. They have to decide what to do. The interesting thing for them is that Brad Crouch is – you wouldn't say he's on the market.
Geez, I would.
But he's off the table.
Oh, yeah, he's
on not
the
off the table.
Oh, he's on the market.
Do you? They want,
I think so.
So if you're another club then going for Brad Crouch, how does this affect his market value? It certainly doesn't help it.
Well, if I was the club looking for him, I'd try and drive it down a bit. But I don't think it makes him any less attractive as a player, if that's what you're after. But I'd use it to my advantage. I know that sounds a bit awful, but hey, anything goes. You just got to try and get the best you can.
With Brad Crouch, and there's no suggestion there's a pattern of behaviour here with Brad Crouch.
No.
With Brad Crouch, is this going to be enough to put potential suitors off, do you think?
I think could put some off, yeah. Depending, you're trying to build a culture at your club. Do you want to bring that in? Probably not. So I think it would put some off, but not others. I think he will end up some. I don't think this is the end of Brad Crouch by any means. If he moves, he either stays at Adelaide or he moves. I think we'll see more of him.
So he wants to stay. My understanding is that he wants to stay, and they're weighing up. Okay, do we shift him? Because if someone comes with the right offer, then basically we can get a top five draft pick as a compensation.
And they've got some good early picks, haven't they?
Yeah, they
ready.
Have, yeah.
So, I mean, this could be a super, even though it's not a super draft as such, not being talked up as a super draft, there's still plenty of talented kids out there to get early. So the more you can get early in, you've got a chance to really shape your club for the next 10 years, and that's what they need to do, obviously, Adelaide. So I'd look at it, and I think they are.
Yeah.
You know, as far as Stengel goes, well, it's two offences this year. And the AFL could still step in over the top two and hand out a punishment for these two, I believe. Is that right?
Well, I think what usually happens is there's a lot of conversations that go on between the club and the AFL, and the club will throw up ideas as to what might be an appropriate punishment. And generally speaking, my experience with these things is they'll say to the AFL, we think he should be given X, and the AFL will say, you're going to have to go X plus two here. And so then the club goes, okay, it's X plus two. Mm-hmm. And then they make an announcement that the club is penalising the player and the AFL, you know, continue. So that's kind of the process that gets followed here, or that's the process that's traditionally been followed. So I expect the punishment to be meted out by the club. Be interested to see what that punishment is, particularly given Brad Crouch's situation. Say a club like Geelong. Is Geelong going to be any less likely to go after Brad Crouch?
I don't think so. I think they backed themselves with the group they've got.
Yeah.
I don't think there've been too many players who've gone into that group and it hasn't, and they've transgressed.
So before this,
solid club now.
Before this, you would argue that Geelong went and got Jack Stephen last year. Jack Stephen has probably had a far more checkered history than Brad Crouch off
absolutely.
The field.
Yeah.
In fact, this is the first I've really heard of Brad Crouch.
Who else are they after, Australian. Geelong? Who aren't they after?
Well, they've got their toe in the water on Jeremy Cameron. Mm. I'm told they've got their toe in the water on Joe Danaher, and they've got their toe in the water on Brad Crouch, and probably a couple of others
a couple of other mids as well, I believe. So, they're having a crack out there, Geelong.
Now, quarters, halfway through the second quarter in the Waffle preliminary final. I, as a South Fremantle supporter, had grave fears for my Bulldogs. And then Cade Stewart threw himself on the boot of a West Perth player when West Perth were 10 points in front. What was going to be a West Perth attack became a South Fremantle goal. Hayden Schloyth put them in front before halftime, and then South surged clear. They earned their spot in the Waffle Grand Final. Can they trouble Claremont, who pretty much took care of them in the second
half? Of course they can. And watching the first half of that game, Keitel looked like he was going to kick seven or eight. Mm. He was up and about. So they got through South, and it was a good second half. They needed that. I'd pick Claremont. I think they were really strong in that second semi. But it's grand final day. It's at Fremantle Oval. So I hope if they can build on that second half, they're every chance. But right now I think Claremont deserve to be the favourites.
I think Claremont deserve to be the favourites. I think when you win a second semi by the margin they won it, there were some significant outs for South in that game. So Florenka didn't play in that game and Stewart didn't play in that game. And from memory, there is also one other who didn't play in that game and I can't actually bring to mind.
Stuart,
who
big ins. Stuart, AFL experience for Renka.
Florenko is one of the Sandover medal favourites.
He is indeed, yeah. So
now Florenko got hurt late in the game, so he potential. We thought it was an ankle. The talk yesterday was calf. Looked quite dejected sitting on the bench. So it'll be interesting to see whether he comes.
Sloyd's got off that striking.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the right call. Yeah. It was a bad action, and then I reckon he got 2/3 of the way through it and thought this is not a good idea. And I think he pulled it enough and it kind of missed the head and got him in the neck, and the bloke didn't show too many ill effects from it. And I think that was okay that he got a reprimand for that. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I was just like to see him play in the GF as well. I don't think it was overly malicious. So I think that's the good call. We should congratulate West Perth too. Two best sides are in the grand final over the course of the year, but I think that West Perth did a remarkable job. It was only recently, you know, we're talking about their impending doom. They got themselves into a preliminary final. Gallant win over Perth last week when they clawed themselves back out of an impossible situation late in the game. So congratulations, West Perth, for their season. I hope it carries forward for them. Sandover medal tonight, Duff. Are you going?
No, I'm not.
I'm going.
So I think it's tired of inviting me, because what used to happen is usually I'd be on the road in Melbourne.
Yes.
I used to get an invitation every year to the Sandover and always had to decline the invitation. I think they've decided they've given up on me. I stopped getting invitations about a year ago.
I wouldn't lose hope. I think numbers are way down. I was very lucky to get an invite, so I'll be travelling along. Among the favourites, Bolton at Claremont, Jackson Ramsey at East Perth. Heath Black again among the favourites. Heath Black. It'd be handy to have him out there. Aaron Black, who won in 2014, just continues to get the job done. Jai Bolton, if he wins, he'll be three. So I think he'd be every chance this year.
Yeah, he's just a great player, Jai Bolton. Every time I get the chance, I pump him up as a potential AFL player, because I think he's definitely good enough to play in the AFL. I'm not sure why clubs haven't given him the opportunity. And of course, Jake Florenka, who's had a terrific year at South Fremantle.
He Florenka will be one of them. And I think a couple of roughies there, maybe Chris Maston, who's had a very good year at Perth, fitted into that club really well this year, bought in 100%. So he might be a bit of an outside chance. So good luck to everyone and enjoy the evening. It's always a good night, Sand overnight.
All right, let's move on to everybody's favourite segment. It is time for Josh's Mailbag.
Hello, Newman.
You've got mail.
Mail.
Because the mail never stops.
Oh, it's mail. Send us your thoughts.
Every day it piles up more and more and more. You gotta get it out. The more you get out, the more you
mail.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's Mailbag.
Hello, guys. Great to have you back, Duff.
Thank you.
And congratulations for all those in the grand final for the Waffle this weekend. To the mailbag for this week, and a couple of good ones. Our mate over from Vancouver has messaged through again. I want to get your thoughts on why medical sports science team fall into the soft cap. Why would the AFL want to reduce spending on the guys responsible for keeping the players on the park?
Well, interesting point. Wasn't so long ago, Duff. I think we're having this conversation on this podcast about whether that should be excluded from the soft cap. I certainly think anyone in the psychology field, anyone in terms to do with mental health, should be excluded from the soft cap. But I'm not sure if the actual medical side of it should be. The soft cap's there for a reason. It's to align the clubs and keep them on the same plateau, if you like. So I would say that would be my suggestion.
So it may be that clubs can develop a mental health area which is separate to the footy department soft spend. But I agree with you. The problem, the scope for the richer clubs and the better resource clubs to get an edge on the other clubs through their sports science and through their ability to train and prepare their players better, I think that is too big a risk.
I agree.
And so I'm happy with the sports science part of it to be part of the soft cap. But I think there is a strong case to argue that mental health for your entire staff, be they footy department staff, be they players, be they marketing staff, be they whatever, that there are facilities and services at the club to service those people.
Former players as well.
Because it is a very intense environment, and intense environments tend to have casualties.
Yeah, so I think former players should fit into that as well, Duff.
Yep.
Thank you very much from our man over in Vancouver. Moving to Russell, a bit closer to Inglewood.
Okay.
Near you, mate.
It is.
This one about Freo and draft prospects. Really good article in the West today, I believe by Jordan McArdle, going through some of Freo's draft options. Mm. Any mail on the Walker twins? I believe it's Brandon and Chris. They're both on Freo's NGA list.
So Brandon is a beautiful mover. He's mainly an outside mid. He's got a bit of a quirky kicking action. I wouldn't say it's a bad kicking action, but it's a slightly different kicking action. He reminds me a bit of Gary Durko. Remember Gary Durko?
Oh, yeah, I do. The late Gary Durko.
Tragically killed in a car crash in the Northern Territory. Mm. But, yeah, he reminds – the way he kicks the ball, the way he gets balanced, the way he moves reminds me a lot of Gary Durko. So I think he's a player who I expect him to end up on Fremantle's list.
Is he quick?
Yeah, he's a nice mover.
Oh, well then.
Very nice mover.
That's a lock then.
Joel Weston, obviously another NGA prospect. He's very quick and very highly rated. Certainly expect him to be there. And when you hear him talk, like he just goes through the roof in your estimation, like really switched on kid. Certainly a kid that's going to leave no stone unturned to get there.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the email, Russ. So just quickly on that, what about West Coast off the top of your head? Anything on the West Coast?
I haven't seen anything come to light on West Coast NGA prospects this year. I think they have a couple on the horizon next year. And obviously they've had Jared Cameron come through for them recently, so he's played some senior footy. He's been one that they've been able to access, and he may yet have a significant impact going forward.
Moving to Glenn Cornwall now. Hi, Josh. Really like the show. Super enjoyable and listen every week. I was just wondering how come each year it's always brought up the change of rules to tinker with the game, what has made this game so great. It seems to be the only sport in the world that looks at changing the rules each and every year. Why can't we just leave it the way it is? It's hard enough for us as a supporter to understand each component of the rules with the holding the ball, especially this year, but more for the umpires who seem to go back and forth with the inconsistencies in the game.
I think we should always look at how we can improve the game. I don't mind tweaks to the rules, but I just don't like them mid-season. That's all. If you're going to do it, you do it pre-season and you carry it through. The only other thing I'd add is, I half on about this, but in finals, they tend to let the Tiggy Touchwood ones go and pay the ones that are just blatant. Let's do that all the time.
An interesting point on holding the ball interpretation. So obviously, one of the things that Fox does in the lead into the finals is they show a lot of old classic finals, and the holding the ball interpretation has changed dramatically over the years. And you know what? They never used to pay it. So if the ball spilled out in the tackle, it was basically play on. And obviously, our colleague Craig O'Donoghue, who's currently in the hub in Queensland and will be covering the bulk of the finals for us from there, he was an umpires coach at the Waffle, and Craig made it clear to me, he told his umpires, if you are in any doubt whatsoever, call play on. I will not criticise you for not paying it. I will criticise you for paying the one that's not there. And that was the way the game was umpired previously. And at some point they decided to reward the tackler. And that's created the can of worms we had now.
It has. I think there's got to be reward for someone who's prepared to go and get the pill. And sometimes it's not. So that's the big argument for most people.
Hey, guys, this one's about from Scott Robertson a couple of weeks ago, but I thought it would be more relevant towards this end of the season. Mad Monday, already upon us for some clubs. Do you envision, and we spoke to this earlier, that we could have some guys playing up?
Absolutely.
In Victoria in particular, where you can't really be hitting the pubs right now.
Absolutely, I do. I fear the worst.
And what do you think they do?
Well, I just don't know what you can do. You can give it.
Stay in Queensland. Stay in Queensland, hire a block of land on the outskirts of somewhere and probably try and contain it within that, I would say.
A few more chaperones around the group wouldn't hurt either, but they tend to do that. And You know, if you want to find trouble, you'll find it.
And the worry with chaperones, and this is one of the reasons why clubs tend to steer clear of chaperones, is that they say to the players, be grown-ups, don't require us to babysit you, and we expect you to behave accordingly. Now, when they chaperone them, they're basically saying, you're not grown-ups, we can't trust you, and therefore we need to keep an eye on you, and you get the behaviour that goes with that.
I think it has been an abnormal year, though. They've basically been in lock-up, so I think a little bit of extra care required this year, I think, from the clubs.
Mm.
Just quickly, is that speaking from your own experience? If you're searching for trouble, you'll find it, Quarters?
I've never searched for trouble.
It found him.
It's found me. Occasionally found me, but I never searched for it. I'm not that kind of guy.
Thanks, everyone, for calling in, for mailing in. Make sure you get them in for next week, especially if you've got the questions after the first week of finals.
And don't forget, if you have any tips about the game, the way you think it's going to pan out, we'll be back on Thursday to discuss the four finals this weekend.
And I'd just like to exit by saying congratulations to all those junior clubs out there who played in grand finals at the weekend, and senior clubs, and you experienced premiership success, or you finished runner-up. Well done to all of you.
Thank you for joining us today, and we'll be back on Thursday to try and tip your winner in the first week of the AFL finals.
Whoa, before you go, producer Josh here. Remember, if you are a fan of the podcast, send us your thoughts. Do you have some big AFL ideas that just keep getting lost on your mates? Or has ISO allowed you to crack a big footy problem? Well, send us the topic you want two of Australia's most experienced and respected footy journalists to discuss. Send us your name, location, and thoughts to me at josh.garlop, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. Just make sure you chuck mailbag in the subject. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on The Game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.